You are listening to The Diabetic Lunchbox. The views and opinions of the show are those of its hosts and guests. Hello, and welcome to The Diabetic Lunchbox. You're here with your host, Tim Rivera. I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for listening in. It means so much that you guys even gave me the support on the pilot episode, and now you guys are here for episode 2. Now, one of the biggest things I wanted to let people know is this isn't purely just going to be me talking all the time. As much as I do love to hear my voice, I know that it's not going to be as entertaining for everybody if I just keep doing that. So I wanted to take some time and start an interview series. These episodes will be at random, so they're not always going to be following in sequence. Today's guest is somebody who's really special to me. This man took the time to raise my brother and I, even though he didn't need to. I guess society would label him as my stepfather, but to me, he's dad. That's right. My dad is a diabetic as well. He has been battling it for, he says in the interview, 5 to 10 years. And it's crazy to think about that it's been so long. The biggest reason why I wanted to bring him on the show is to talk about his journey, because I know it's been a lot more difficult than what I've dealt with. He's been through so many different hospital visits, so many different doctors, and even to the point where his kidneys are starting to not work. That's right, he has stage 4 kidney failure. And whenever we found out that it was getting to this point, he started changing some of his ways. And now he's currently looking for a kidney. I don't bring up what blood type he is or anything like that because I don't want to do this podcast as a sense of a handout or anything or trying to beg, but I want people to understand the importance of taking care of yourself and to see where diabetes can actually get with you. It's not something that anybody really wants to deal with. No one wants to look at the ugly side of diabetes, and in this interview, we took the time to really ask him how he felt. So without further ado, let's get to that interview. Welcome to the Diabetic Lunchbox. We are doing our first interview with my dad, actually. So this is a big thing because he is also diabetic. So the whole point of this podcast was for me to not just talk about my journey, but have other people who've gone through sort of a journey as well and different things they've had. So go ahead and say hi.
How you doing, Tim? How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. I can't really complain. First of all, I guess let's go ahead and start. How long have you been diabetic?
Oh, I think more than 5 years.
Okay. What are some of the different struggles you've had with your diabetes?
Well, at first it was loss of weight, thirst, urination frequently, and just watching my sugar levels. It also affects your heart, but basically just that, and then your diet, of course. But it's difficult because it's a change of life. It's a transition into different diet, different lifestyle, and everything. And when you've been used to living a certain way, it's hard to just transition automatically into the lifestyle of a diabetic.
For sure. I get that one because, you know, it caught me off guard whenever I was going through everything. I didn't know how this was going to be. The transition only really happened for me just due to the fact of trying to figure out everything in this world. I mean, in reality, there's still so much that we don't know about diabetes.
That's correct. And a person that doesn't know too much about diabetes, the symptoms and the damage that it causes to your body, you're just caught off guard. You don't know how to handle it. You slowly try to give up certain things, change certain things, and it's just not the easiest of transitions. You're just used to living a different lifestyle, you know, tamales, tacos, burritos, enchiladas. Being a Mexican, you know, you have those different things where they want to eat. You want to eat, you know, a little portion of vegetables and a little portion of meat and, you know, salad or fruit or whatever. And it's just a big giant transition when you're just used to rice and beans and just everything else.
Agreed. And a lot of people, I mean, every single culture has their own meals that cause that. But I mean, if you look at a lot of research that's out there, a lot of the people of color, a lot of Hispanics, Mexicans, that we diabetes runs really high, heart disease, all that kind of stuff. And a lot of it, yes, part of it's with genetics, but a lot of it also can be with our food. And that's what makes it difficult is the type of food we have, what's available to us, and also the fact that most of the time when we're eating that food, it's because it's really good.
Right. And, you know, I just want to say that in my particular family, you know, mom's cooking and, you know, our family lifestyle, you know, my father had diabetes, my brother, older brother had diabetes. I believe my younger brother has diabetes. I'm not sure about my sister and my other brother, but I think they've had bouts of diabetes. I'm not sure if they what they have, but our lifestyle, my mom, you know, her cooking and everything was always great and good. My mom has always been a super healthy woman. She eats very small portions. Seems like if she were to be on a diet for her entire life, she does enjoy a piece of a pie or something sweet with every meal, but it's very little. She always has just very little of just that type of a taste in her meals, but she's always taking care of herself. She's 86, 87 years old, and she's doing really good. I think she's super healthy for her. For her age, she takes care of herself. But I'm not blaming my mom or anything like that. I think it's choices that we make as adults, as we're growing up. We choose to have extra large portion or the second portion when we don't really need it. The sodas, the Cokes, the sweets, the candies, all those kinds of things. We throw them in when in reality we don't need any of that in excess. I don't believe there's anything wrong with having a piece of pie every once in a while or a piece of candy every once in a while. It's everything in moderation. But diet, I think, you know, I am beginning to realize diet is a major part of being a diabetic.
I mean, you're not wrong. Honestly, I've been joking around a lot with this, that diabetes is known as a moderation disease, because it teaches you moderation. It teaches you that, hey, I need to kind of slim down on some of the things I'm doing and take a step back, really, is what it comes down to.
I think it's true. It's sometimes it's a mental thing. You have to kind of begin to accept the change that has to be made in order to be a healthy diabetic. I believe there's ways to beat diabetes through diet, through exercise, and through maintaining your blood sugar levels. I think there is a way to have a longer livelihood life by just maintaining a better diet and better exercise. And, you know, also your fluid intake is very important.
You're right. I mean, part of the struggles I had when I first started really going through this is I was drinking so much water, but I couldn't get rid of my thirst, which ended up being the fact that my A1C was 18.5, my blood sugar was a 350, and I was near the steps of ketoacidosis. And you know, ever since that point, because I was having Cokes, but I was having water, but I was also, you know, trying, oh, well, maybe Sprite will, you know, fix it. Or, hey, I'm going to drink juice because, you know, I like juice, and juice sometimes quenches my thirst. And it ended up not fixing anything. And now I really only drink water and black coffee. And I drink the coffee most of the times in the morning. So my whole focus has moved a lot to just water, keeping yourself hydrated.
Right. It's important that you do keep yourself hydrated. I mean, that's what's going on in your body. I mean, you know, with either, you know, what I enjoy is water, or just a water sprinkle with lemon, or unsweet tea, things like that, you know, are kind of substitutes to me now. It's rather, if I drink a soda now, it's like super, super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
If I drink a dietetic drink, or, you know, sugar-free, anything like that, it's still something weird. It's because I've learned that when you're drinking the substitutes, they are just mimicking sugar, but your body's still craving, and it's still causing your body to go through different changes due to that. Even the fake sugars and stuff like that. So it's better just to do without them. It's better to do without them. Just take care of yourself that way. But you do go through the phase, or it's not a phase, maybe it's forever, of being thirsty. You can go through cramping, other kinds of things, effects that it causes. But you will have definitely a lot of thirst when you're going through diabetes.
Agreed. And I mean, everyone has their own sort of like points of different diabetes. Like, yes, there's type 2 diabetes. Yes, there's type 1 diabetes. But everybody's journey has been different. I know that for you, it has gotten pretty severe in some areas, especially recently, which for me seeing this and then being a part of that journey, it's a bit of an eye-opener, really, of how serious diabetes can get.
It's very serious, and, you know, if you want to live longer, you have to try to maintain your sugar levels and your diet and everything. It begins to deteriorate your kidneys, your pancreas is not working, your thyroid, different other organs of your body are struggling to trying to keep up, and they're not working properly. So you begin to feel lethargic, weak. You don't have the strength, the stamina that you would. Your muscles, you're achy, weak, and it's difficult sometimes. Myself, I struggle sometimes with walking. I have dizzy spells, vomiting, different things that I go through. That does not happen. I am anemic also, so I have chills and I struggle. You know, also I struggle sleeping. So there's just all kinds of stuff. You know, we were talking about drinking and liquids and stuff like that. I want to tell a story of my father when we were visiting my family in Puerto Rico. And I'm a Puerto Rican, so when we were visiting my family in Puerto Rico, we were there one day, and my father loves oranges. And in Puerto Rico, the name for an orange in Puerto Rico is called a china. And they asked him, would you like some chinas? And he said, I'd love some chinas. And Puerto Rico is very fertile and abundant in fruit and vegetables, just growing. You drop a seed and it'll grow. Well, anyway, they brought him a bushel, a whole large bag of oranges. And he sat there one after another eating his oranges. At that time, he didn't know he was a diabetic. And he sat and ate so many oranges that day. I say maybe he consumed maybe like 16 or more oranges. It caused him to go into a diabetic coma. An incredible reaction. He fell to the ground. He was spasming, chills, very, very sick. They had to rush him to the hospital. He spent 2 months in the hospital. He spent a month in the hospital. Our stay was for 2 weeks, and we ended up, or he ended up staying for 2 months, trying to recover from his coma that he went through. He did come out of it, recovered, and after that went on to maintain his diabetes better. But you can make definitely some terrible decisions and mistakes when you overdo it. You over do it either with fruit, candy, your diet. So you have to maintain it, or you'll end up in a coma.
Yeah. And a lot of people, because there's always that notion that, well, it's fruit, so it has to be healthy for you. And the thing is, fruit is healthy, but it is a moderation thing because it has natural sugars in it that do spike everything. There's a reason why they say if your blood sugar drops, to have a half a cup of apple juice, like just a half a cup, like not a full cup, half, and that'll pick up your blood sugar to high enough. If it's too low, and I'm like, that means that there must be a lot of sugar if it's going to pick you up out of that little down spell you have. So that's, it's, you know, crazy thing about that. Grandpa went through that and ate that many oranges, because oranges are great. I do love a good orange. And to know that he ate around that much and it messed with his body shows what potential could have doing to anybody now.
Yes, it's dangerous, but you know, when you're going through diabetes, you're not educated all at once. It's a process. You begin to understand the different triggers and the different things that happen to your body due to either not dieting, not maintaining the good exercise, good liquid levels, and all those things. When you begin to realize those things, then you begin to control it better. But if you do not watch your diet, your water intake, and you do not exercise, your body will go down quickly and fast. I realized that when I began to get sick, and I've had several hospital stays, and you know, I didn't understand what was going on, but my body was reacting to all the chemical imbalances I had due to not maintaining a good diet and not properly exercising, not watching myself. And it just causes your body to go out of whack. That's why you end up in the hospital. That's why you end up close to death. That's why you suffer, your family suffer, your loved ones suffer, because, you know, due to your not maintaining your good, taking your medications, whatever, for whatever reasons, if you don't watch all the different aspects of the diabetic life and maintain them, then, you know, one way or another, it's going to catch up to you and going to get you.
You bring up some really, really true points. And, you know, I mean, I had my one hospital stay, but that was enough to scare me to start taking care of myself. And I think everybody has sort of that point where you realize that, hey, I need to change some things. So I really do appreciate you doing this interview for us, Dad, because, you know, it's a big deal. And of course, I want to open up the mic. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, anything, you know, you one a little last word you want to say before you head out.
Well, the only thing I would like to say, Tim, is that the best thing we can all do is choose to live a healthier lifestyle. And not everybody goes through diabetes, but there's other things that attack the body. And if we do not, you know, maintain a healthier lifestyle through diet, our exercise, maintaining, you know, the different things, you know, we go see the doctor, and the doctor talks to us, and he tries to give us warning. And, you know, I'm not speaking against the doctors, but they kind of sometimes don't give you, or you're not realizing or listening to the entire picture, and you think, oh, I'm going to be all right if I just, you know, kind of keep moseying along and just watching myself to a certain degree. But when you don't listen to your doctors, and when you don't obey you know, the rules of whatever you're going through, then there's going to be deterioration in your situation, in your sickness. And so I would just encourage anyone that is going through anything, try to follow your the advice of your medical professionals. You know, they are there for a reason. They're trying to extend your life and trying to take care of you. And, you know, the doctors, the nurses, my hat's off to all of them, because, you know, they put themselves in harm's way trying to take care of you, trying to make you comfortable. You know, in the hospital stays, the nurses are always very nice and very kind. You know, you have your ugly situations. When you go to the hospital, it's not pretty. When you're having to lay in bed for an entire week and, you know, you're following their diet, they're waking you up every, sometimes every 30 minutes, every hour, and they're giving you injections, they're giving you medications, they're doing things to try to help you, you know. It's not a pretty situation. It's a difficult situation. And your wife is laying there next to you, you know, in an uncomfortable chair or sofa or a cot, which they bring into you. But they're all very nice and very kind. And the doctors are all very kind. They're doing their best to try to help you out. But I would just encourage anyone that has some sort of sickness, some sort of ache in their body, something that's causing them to medically have to get help, to try to adhere and listen to the advice of your doctors, and because they're actually trying to save your life, they're actually trying to extend your life and make you give you a better quality life, life and living. And so my encouragement is that, you know, Tim has amazed me in the fact that he got sick. He went into the hospital. He's very, I would say, near death. You know, I feel that, you know, God has spared him. God has given him a second chance. And you know what? He made the decision to change his life. And I get emotional, but it's a blessing. It's a blessing when you finally realize that there's more important things in life than just being selfish and wanting to have that double meat whopper, when actually you don't need it. You can have a single meat, or just a patty with vegetables, or, you know, just go. I know vegan Tim has decided to change his diet completely and gone meatless. I believe he's gone meatless. But, you know, he is putting out in some incredible meals. I'm really surprised at some of the meals that he's producing. And he's trying to make his diet enjoyable and his life enjoyable. And I think he's doing a good job of it. And I just want to commend him in the effort that he's made to change his lifestyle, because when Tim changed his lifestyle, other people around him have also changed their lifestyle. It's affected my son, my other son. It's affected my daughter-in-law. It's affected us. And so it's been a big change. And I encourage all of those who are listening that they need to consider their lifestyle and their food, and just, you know, the decisions we make. You know, I'm not saying you have to read every label. I'm not saying that you have to skimp in everything that you do or just set aside all those kinds of things. I'm just recommending you that to you that if you put, you know, eating is an important thing. We make it such a big part of our lives, but it is not the most important thing in our life. It's that we maintain ourselves, and so that we can be longer to be around for our loved ones.
This interview to me was a real struggle. Not on the fact of the editing or really getting to the point or the random spikes in audio that you guys hear inside this. And that was my fault, by the way. That wasn't his. That's me trying to work a board that I am really struggling with. Doing this in a closet doesn't give you as much space as it would if you were inside an actual, like, studio. So I am making it work in this closet. But either way, the reason why this interview was hard is to hear my dad's story and to hear his thoughts on diabetes and where he's at. He has made leaps and bounds from where he was at before. And I am so proud of him. And to hear the fact that he's proud of me means so much to me as well. I keep this journey going for myself, but also to help inspire others. So I hope that today's episode has inspired y'all to take care of yourself a little bit more. For future diabetics, or diabetics who are just barely getting started, or even diabetics who have been diabetic for years. Tell me, how many times did I say diabetic? I feel like I said it a lot. But either way, this is a wake-up call and a way for us to understand that we can make a change no matter what. We don't have to accept our fate and just lie in our graves. We can live life to the fullest, go with moderation, be healthy, be happy, and above all, love one another. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Diabetic Lunchbox. Have a good day. We want to thank you for listening to today's episode. Please subscribe to the Lunchbox on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podomatic. If you want to follow us on our social media, you can find us on Twitter at DiabeticLunchBX and on Facebook at Diabetic Lunchbox. And a big thank you to John Stacy for writing this amazing intro and outro. Remember, just because this stuff worked for me doesn't mean it'll work for you. Before you start any change in your lifestyle, please speak with your primary care physician, therapist, or dietitian.